Can you explain what your job is? What exactly is your job?
Well, my role is student liaison officer. So I have responsibility for crime prevention and personal safety for students in Leeds, particularly those who are living and studying away from home.
Right.
So I give crime prevention advice to all those students through whatever media that I can find.
Right, okay, so you give crime prevention advice, so would that involve going in and talking to a big group of students maybe at the beginning of the year?
It can do. Right. Certainly I've given talks to international students.
Right.
And it's been very interesting to have feedback from them about how they perceive the police,
right.
And how they see our role in society, which is often very different to right. what it actually is, because I know that a lot of the international students come from very different cultures,
right.
and some expect us to have guns on us and some expect us, you know, to be quite ruthless on the streets, and
right.
some find us quite intimidating, whereas really we are representatives of society, and we're here just to keep law and order.
Right, okay, so would you say your role in society, you see that primarily to represent and to keep law and order?
It is, yes. I mean, the police are try to represent society in as much as we have certain levels of male and female officers, of ethnic minority officers, and whilst it's fair to say that still the vast majority are, or the majority are, white male.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we're increasing and trying to increase the numbers of female officers
mm-hmm.
and officers from people from other ethnic minority groups.
Right. Okay. And what else does your role involve?
Crime prevention and personal safety advice. So yes, I'll go out and give talks to students. I attend a lot of events that the universities have, and when I say the universities, I'm talking particularly Leeds University and Leeds Metropolitan University.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The vast majority of my time is taking up answering questions from students. So I hold a drop-in session at Unipol once
mm-hmm.
a week,
mm-hmm.
and students are able to come and speak to me about any questions that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of inquiries that I get from students mm-hmm. are from them either sending me emails or ringing me direct, and I'll deal with those issues sometimes about crimes that they've reported and they're not sure what's happening
mm-hmm.
or what they should be doing
mm-hmm.
or something's happened and they don't know where to go for help
mm-hmm.
And whilst I don't deal with all of the crimes, I deal with
mm-hmm.
some crimes
mm-hmm.
Against students, but not the majority, because there's so many it would be impossible for me
right.
to deal with them all
right.
by myself
right.
But I can give advice
right.
On where they can go for help
right.
And point them in the right direction.
What are the main concerns that students come to you with?
The main concerns that the students have are about crimes that happen against them
right.
and generally they don't consider it a concern until it happens.
Okay.
So I have students who've been burgled and they want to know what to do about it, or they've been robbed and they want to know how to prevent
mm-hmm.
it happening again. The other people who contact me, often via the universities, but I get in touch with, are permanent residents in the communities, so Headingley Hyde Park, those sorts of areas where there's a high student population.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who live there, who have families and regular jobs,
mm-hmm.
find it difficult with the noise and the hours that the students keep.
Right.
And obviously with Headingley particularly, over the last few years, used to be nice sort of homely pubs where
mm-hmm.
people could go and have a quiet
mm-hmm.
drink, whereas now they're the more student orientated bars, and there
mm-hmm.
is a lot of noise and
mm-hmm.
a lot of students would go to Leeds City Centre
mm-hmm.
to enjoy themselves and then come home, maybe create a bit of noise coming home
right.
but everybody expected that, but it's all the time now because
right.
they are drinking in Headingley. So we have those problems and I go and try and iron
mm-hmm.
out some of the
right.
issues between them.
So you're there to support and give advice to the students, but also to an extent to liaise with other members of the community as well.
Yeah, yes,
right.
I am, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues that I keep trying to press towards students
mm-hmm.
Is that now that they're living away from home,
right.
This is their new home. Leeds is their home, and they have a responsibility towards the people who live here all the time, just to respect the area where they live and to treat it as they would like their own homes to be treated. And whilst they might be just renting flats with other students in one house, they have to treat that as their own house, treat it as they would their parents' home, and look after it. Because sometimes at the end of the academic term, they all leave, go home, and the state that some of these houses are left in is horrendous, and then the landlords are left to clear up the mess. So it's all about teaching the students to respect property, to respect other people, and to try and live in a community with people just as they would in their own towns or villages where they come from.
So you've mentioned the noise you mentioned before, and you mentioned litter and bins, and just the appearance of the area. Are those some of the key issues that people come to you with?
I think they are the major issues. Noise is the one that comes up time and time again, and drunken behaviour. Right. So we're talking minor antisocial behaviour. And certainly some of the students who live in halls of residence, quite often the universities will get in touch with me, and I'll go and have a word with the students and say, you know, this can't continue, this has to stop. And even in private rented, you know, accommodation, if the neighbours get in touch with me, I'll go knock on the door and say, no, this has to stop, otherwise action will be taken against you.
Right. And what kind of action could be taken against people saying this, say if that's very noisy, for example?
Well, if we're looking at noise, first of all, environmental health can come and monitor the noise, and if it gets to a certain excess, then they can put them before the courts, they can take court action and confiscate all their music equipment.
Right.
Antisocial behaviour, you know, I can be up to the level of arresting people and I'm getting criminal records, which at the end of the day, they might as well not be bothered coming to university, because they're going to get a criminal record, the chance of them getting a job are much reduced. So it's about educating students about that, letting them know what the consequences of their behaviour are, so that hopefully it will stop, and if not, then I will come in and take action against
them. I think that's really interesting, because I know sometimes people say, oh, well, I've got a noisy neighbour, whatever, but what can I do, and what will happen? So it's really interesting to know that.
Yeah. And also in relation to noise, another consequence is a tenancy agreement. They are in breach of their tenancy agreement if they don't respect the neighbours.
Right, okay, interesting.
So take that one on board as well. Right. So there's kind of two faces to my role, really. I try to be the nice, you know, approachable police officer, the people who come and ask for advice for, and I'll do what I can to help them. But at the end of the day, if they, you know,
if they step over that line
And commit criminal offences, my colleagues will come in and deal with them.
Thank you. So for most of our students, or for most students at Airfield College, the neighbourhood police would be the people that they would see out on the beach, that they come into contact with?
Yeah, the vast majority of people who you will come into contact with on the street now are footbeat officers who are police community support officers, not actually police officers. And they're identified slightly differently. They have blue ties and blue epaulettes on their on their jumpers, and they have a blue band around the hat as well.
Okay.
And the men rather wear the tall hats or wear flat caps, but with the blue bands around it.
Yes.
So they're slightly different. They work alongside us. They have the same radios that we use, so they have regular contact with the police.
Yes.
In fact, they work from the same office that I work from. But they're not actually police officers. So whilst they can stop people and ask them their details, they don't have a power of search, so they can't search people. And they don't have a power of arrest, but they can detain people for a length of time until police officers come to make the arrest. So they have more powers than a normal person on the street would have, but not as many powers as police officers have. So they're supported by us very much.
Can you tell us what powers police officers have?
Basically, we have powers within England and Wales. The Scottish law is different, and the Scottish police have different powers. Special constables, who are unpaid police officers, have powers in the division, so in the police force that they work, mm-hmm. and the surrounding forces, mm-hmm. so they can step just outside their own force and they will still have power. But regular police officers have powers throughout the whole of England and Wales. Right. Those powers include being able to stop people on the street, right. ask their names, address, date of birth, their details, right. To be able to arrest people, right. for criminal offences,
right.
Be able to search people, mm-hmm. on the street, mm-hmm. And obviously within the search we will always try to do a male on male and female, mm-hmm. on female, mm-hmm. search. Not always possible, mm-hmm. but certainly if we're doing, mm-hmm. more intimate searches, yes. then that would definitely be, and if we do, sometimes we do a slightly more intimate search, mm-hmm. on the street for, mm-hmm. drugs, mm-hmm. in particular, or, mm-hmm. maybe for weapons, mm-hmm. and then we'd be looking to have a police van, mm-hmm. to come up, and we do it in the back of a police, mm-hmm. van with the door closed, mm-hmm. and it would definitely be, mm-hmm. sort of male on male and female, mm-hmm. on female.
So can you tell us then what's the most important skill that a police officer needs?
Most of the work that we do, whilst we do have powers, mm-hmm. most of it is to do with talking to people, yes. communication. It's more about skills than powers, yes. really. So we do have those powers to deal with things that we need to, mm-hmm. but everything else is about skill, and, mm-hmm. and particularly communication. Mm-hmm. And most instances, even, you know, fights on the street that we deal with, okay, the perpetrator of the fight might get arrested, but everybody else, because there's always a crowd of people that, yes. hang around, yes. and it's about communicating, yeah. to people and talking to them and moving people on, and, mm-hmm. and that's the biggest skill, mm-hmm. that we use.
Absolutely, diffusing, yeah. the situation. Yeah.